If someone were to ask you right now, what would fill you with great fear? How would you respond? And I would imagine that some of you would be quick to say snakes, spiders, heights, public speaking. But this question was asked to a select group of people, and as they had time to think about it, they concluded with the following 10 fears. There's the fear of losing our freedom, the fear of going through pain or disappointment, the fear of being miserable or lonely, the fear of being ridiculed or rejected, the fear of failure. But what they most said was the unknown and death is what fills them with great fear. And as we observed here just for a moment in that video clip, these shepherds were filled with great fear. But their immense fear, as you noticed, it quickly turned into great joy. And you may wonder what made all that difference. And the difference was the message of hope and love that was given to them. And so I want to focus this evening together on that message. It's in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And as we look at these verses and listen to them together from the Word of God, let's learn from these shepherds and how God wants you, He wants me to respond to this same message of hope and love. We notice the shepherds, they heard the gospel message. For those of you who are familiar with public relations, when you have a message that you want to get out to the world, you're going to be very selective in who you take that message to first. And so you would probably choose to take that message to someone who is in a prominent position, someone who has respect, someone who is valued for wisdom and for influence. And as you read in the preceding verses about this particular night, the greatest moment in all of history, it says there in verse 7 that Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn. And so what you would think immediately following in verse 8 would read something like, in the same region there were kings keeping watch over their palace at night, or there were priests keeping watch over the temple at night, or there were scribes keeping watch over their scrolls at night. But instead, verse 8 says, this message of hope, this message of love, in the same night, the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. What you may not realize is socially, shepherds, they were nobodies. They were your common peasants. And before we go busting on shepherds, it's important to remember, especially through the Old Testament, some great heroes of the faith were shepherds. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David. David may have even been watching flock of his in the same field because it was near Bethlehem. He was from the city of Bethlehem. Shepherds, it's just one of those lowly, dirty jobs that somebody had to do. Just that kind of a profession. Nothing glamorous about it. Usually to be a shepherd, it didn't require that you had to be educated. In fact, sometimes shepherds were referred to as being ignorant. Some of them, they couldn't read. Some of them, they couldn't write. Being a shepherd didn't require any particular skill. It didn't pay hardly anything, minimum wage at best. It was so easy, even a child could do it. That was shepherds. And yet God Almighty purposely chose to first deliver this message of hope and love to a group of people who were intellectually and who were socially on the bottom rung of the ladder. Shepherds. They heard the gospel message. These men, they were the bluest of the blue collars. They were settling in this particular night. It was an ordinary night there in Judea near Bethlehem, settling in for the graveyard shift, keeping watch, verse 8 says, over their flock. And they were about to experience a night they would never, ever forget. All of a sudden, verse 9, an angel of the Lord, the highest of all created beings, appeared to them, the lowliest of all humans, by an angel. And in Luke chapter 1, we have already taken a look at these last few weeks that an angel appeared to others. Appeared to an old priest, Zechariah, and said, "You in your old age and your wife and her advancement of years is going to bear a son, and you'll name him John." And then an angel, Gabriel, appeared to Mary and said, "You found grace with God and you're going to bear his son." Verse 9, it says it's the angel of the Lord here in Luke 2. We don't know who it was. It could have been Gabriel for all we know. But it's pretty significant here in Luke 1 and 2, these angels appearing to God's people. Because for over 500 years, angels had not shown up to God's people. It was a big deal, but an even bigger deal is in verse 9. It says, the glory of the Lord shone around these shepherds. The Bible teaches us that God is spirit. And yet, Scripture tells us that at times God manifested himself. He revealed himself to his people for his purposes. And so when the true one and only God revealed himself to his people, he revealed himself to them, as you read through Scripture, as light. Some kind of glowing, brilliant, shining, incomprehensible manifestation of light. Probably one of the marvelous revelations of God to a human in the Old Testament is when Moses is on the mountain and God reveals himself to Moses. And Moses requests of God, "Show me all of your glory." And God tells Moses, "You can't see my face, because if you see me, you'll go up in smoke." And in Exodus 33, God put Moses in the cleft of the rock and by grace and mercy covered him with his hand as he passed by Moses, and he allowed Moses to see the back of him, and it changed Moses from that day forward. He comes down off the mountain and his face is shining, is glowing. He had to put a veil over his face. And afterwards, the glory of the Lord took up residence among God's people, dwelt in the Holy of Holies in their tabernacle. And then later, the glory of the Lord took up residence with God's people, dwelt in the Holy of Holies in the temple that Solomon built. But sadly, you can read in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 8 through 10. God's people turned against the Lord. And the prophet Ezekiel writes about the glory of the Lord leaving his people. And it never returned up until this night in Luke chapter 2. And what's so incredibly awesome to me, with the glory of the Lord shining around them, is that God did not come to take up residence in a tent or in a temple again. God took up residence and literally dwelt among his people as a human being. John 1:14 says, "Jesus, the eternal God, became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So shockingly, these shepherds probably were not afraid of much. I say that because, especially on the graveyard shift, where thieves and wolves would like to attack the flock. They were the ones that were to fend them off. So it probably would have taken a lot to startle these men. And all of a sudden, they find themselves on this ordinary night in the presence of an angel of the Lord and surrounded by the glory of the Lord. And very appropriately, they were filled with great fear. You could say they were quaking in their sandals. They were more than likely thinking, this is the moment that we fear the most. We are going to die. And you notice what the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I'm not here to take your life. I'm not here to give you a message of bad news. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Personally, I believe the reason the shepherds were the first to hear God's message of hope and love was because God wanted to communicate very clearly to the world that his gospel message is for all people. From the lowliest of the lowlies, like the shepherds, and anyone else above them. Nobody, friends, gets let out of this joyous news of salvation. Isn't that marvelous? The angel said to the shepherds in verses 12 through 14, this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased. And so I personally think that God's message of salvation, his message of hope, his message of love, the gospel message that the virgin bore a son, they called him Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. I think that message was first delivered to the shepherds because it was quite possibly that night they were watching the Passover lambs that would later be used in the temple in Jerusalem in celebration of the Passover feast. You see, friends, in Exodus chapter 12, when God's people were enslaved to the Egyptians, God commanded them to sacrifice a lamb, a male, without blemish, and they were to apply the blood of that lamb to the tops and sides of their doorposts. And God said that the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood applied, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. The shed blood of an innocent lamb that night, a lamb without defect, it delivered God's people from slavery. It saved them from death. And so from that moment on in Exodus 12, God commanded the Israelites to observe the Passover feast once a year as a lasting memorial because it communicates God's way of salvation. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. There's no deliverance. There's no salvation. So in a sense, God told these shepherds in verse 12, you will find the baby. You will find the Savior. You will find the Lamb of God wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So these shepherds that night, they heard the gospel message. They believed in Jesus Christ. And even though this text doesn't specifically say they believed, what we read about their outward actions after they heard the gospel message indicates an inward reality going on in their hearts. I say that because true belief is more than just intellectual acknowledgement. It always results in obedient response. And in Luke 2:15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, the promised Messiah, the anointed one, lying in a manger. And after that, they shared him with others. Verse 17 through 19 says, they saw it. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And then they went on and lived for his glory. Verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. An ordinary night, and an extraordinary thing happened. And from that night, 30 years later, Jesus, the God-man, on this earth, is walking towards John the Baptist. And John declares to his followers, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And a little while later, from that moment, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and he began to do what he came to this earth to do. He started to teach others, and one time he said in John 10, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheepfold. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will be fully satisfied." He went on and said, "The thief," I believe referring to Satan, "comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." "I am the good shepherd," Jesus says. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I lay my life down for the sheep. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again," Jesus says. "This charge I've received from my Father." And he finishes saying, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." A couple years later, Jesus, the Lamb of God without sin, went on to do exactly what he had said. He laid down his life on the cross. He did so in order to deliver you and me, to deliver us from death, to set us free from sin. He laid down his life. He died on the cross. He was buried. But on the third day, he rose again, never to die again. He was the perfect sacrifice, friends. There's no other sacrifice needed. He paid in full with his blood the penalty that you and I deserve for our sins. And today, the good news of great joy is that the Father offers all who hear the gospel message and believes in Jesus Christ, he offers them peace. Romans 5:1 says, he offers them peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have peace with God, friends, guess what? You have no other reason to be afraid. God is for you. Who can be against you? Nothing No one. God offers all who hear and believe his message of salvation. He offers them forgiveness. Ephesians 1 says, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of God's grace. God Almighty promises us in his word that all who hear and believe in Christ will receive the greatest gift ever. The free gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so friends, tonight, like the shepherds from Luke 2, God has enabled you to hear the gospel message. And he wants you to believe in Jesus Christ. And if there's never been a time in your life where you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, right where you're sitting, even as I'm speaking, you can simply, from your heart, cry out to God and say something like this: God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm in desperate need of salvation. And I believe you came to this earth. You died on the cross for my sins. I believe you were buried and rose again. And I'm crying out to you, God, to be my Savior. Whoever confesses with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believes in their heart that God has raised him from the dead will be saved. Friends, if you've never done that, I encourage you to put your faith and trust in Christ and receive the greatest gift, eternal life through Jesus Christ. For those of you who know Jesus Christ, the Savior, you've received this great gift. Tonight, you, like the shepherds, because of God's grace, he's enabled you to be filled with great joy, to be able to worship the Lord with your voices, to hear from his word and understand it, trust in it, have your life transformed by it. And God wants you to celebrate the good news of our dear Savior's birth tomorrow. And he also wants you, he wants me, to share Christ with others, just like the shepherds did, and then to live for his glory, just like the shepherds. Father, thank you for this challenge from your word. And I certainly pray for those who have heard the gospel message and may not recall a time where they've ever allowed the message of the gospel to transform them. I pray today, Lord, that they would surrender their lives, confess their sin, and cry out to Jesus to save them. I pray they'd be a recipient of the greatest gift that you've given me, the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray that you would do a mighty work in their hearts, whoever they are, and draw them to salvation. Christmas will mean so much more tomorrow and forevermore with Christ as their Savior. For those of us who know Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would help us to truly make Christmas what it is meant to be, a celebration of your Son's birth. Help us not to let anything, the traditions, the family, the friends, the gatherings, any of that crowd out what's truly most important. I pray that we can make much of Jesus the remainder of tonight, all the way into tomorrow and throughout. And Lord, I pray that we'd also continue on with our responsibility to share his message with our loved ones, those that you bring into our sphere of influence. And I pray we'd be surrendered to living for your glory all the days of our lives. Glorify yourself and accomplish what you want to accomplish in our heart's response to your message, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.